The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This is Wake Up with Randy Corcoran on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Man, things are flying this morning. Final hour of the show at 8:04. Welcome back. I'm Randy Corcoran, your pumped-up purveyor of principled, passionate patriotism. And you're listening to Denver's only live local conservative Saturday morning show, where we've been spending some time talking about religion, the role of religion in our society, and this truly amazing speech that was given by Attorney General William Barr at the Notre Dame Law School earlier this week. I will be tweeting out links to both the video of the speech as well as the text of the speech. If you follow me on Twitter at Randy Corcoran, I'll also put it up at my social media pages, my personal page, Randy Corcoran, and the show page, Wake Up with Randy Corcoran, all there on Facebook. And we're going to get back to that conversation in just a couple of minutes. If you're just joining us, we've been talking about some of the ideas that are shared by Attorney General Barr, like this. The idea of the pendulum. The pendulum will swing back. We've all believed that. But today we face something different that may mean that we cannot count on the pendulum swinging back. And I'll just tease you with this, then we'll go to our guest. If you want to get in on the religious conversation, 303-696-1971. Today we face something different that may mean that we cannot count on the pendulum swinging back. First is the force, fervor, and comprehensiveness of the assault on religion we are experiencing today. This is not decay. It is organized destruction. Secularists, it's hard to read, and their allies among the, quote, progressives have marshaled all the force of mass communications, popular culture, the entertainment industry, and academia in an unremitting assault on religion and traditional values. Man, preaching to the choir here, I don't say it as articulately, but we talk about these things all the time, mostly in the context of our political discussions. So we will turn our attentions back to that. There's a line open. Joe, sit tight. We will get to you. Phone number here, 303-696-1971. But I did want to spend some time on some local politics. You undoubtedly by now, if you live in Arapahoe County or really anywhere in the state, have received your ballot. And Jimmy Sengenberger, who does his, gosh, five-year-old show now here at 710, Saturday nights from 5 to 8, broke this story. He's been all over the Arapahoe County clerk and recorder, the former driver's license window clerk who was elected in the blue wave of 2018, and very critical about the way she's managing social media and utilizing it to advance a party agenda as opposed to simply doing the people's business in her newly elected role. And apparently there were some shenanigans with involving the release of the ballots, the date, and how that all occurred in a way to potentially benefit Democrats. So who better than to get interested in that idea, to get on the case, than the former Deputy Attorney General from the state of Colorado? Her name is Suzanne Steyert. I'll let her tell you about what she's doing right now in her current organization, the Public Trust Institute. But she issued a CORA request, got the results. I've looked through them this morning. Very, very interesting. And she joins us now. Good morning, Suzanne.
Hi, Randy. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, long time no talk to.
Right.
Usually we're talking about political campaigns or we're doing battle over, you know, mutual client or representing our clients in legal wars or whatever. But this is very, very interesting to me. I am a resident in Arapahoe County, I was I'm continue to be close friends with Matt Crane, the former clerk and recorder, and what I noticed with Matt and what I respected so much, I know what his politics is because we talk about things, go deep on certain topics, but in the utilizing of his authority and in the following through on his duties as clerk and recorder, I always saw him taking every effort to be right down the middle, shooting it straight, not seeking to favor one side or the other. I simply do his job, his primary job, which at election time is running full, fair, accessible elections, and he was great at it. From what I've seen so far in Arapahoe County today, I'm not so sure we're going to have that same level of confidence in the outcomes moving forward. For people who don't know what we're talking about, please introduce yourself just a little bit and talk about the Public Trust Institute, and then tell us what you did and what you found out.
So I was actually the Deputy Secretary of State, Attorney General.
I don't know why I said that every time. I know that. I'm just, it's like names. I can't get them right if I don't write them down.
So, you know, obviously I did a lot of
Deputy Attorney General. Give me a break.
Yeah. All right.
What an embarrassment I am to myself.
No, you're fine.
Okay,
I just
want
to clarify that I did a lot of election law before, before this. So the Public Trust Institute is, I mean, it's a government watchdog group that is looking at issues like this related to, you know, fairness across the board, what kind of special interests are playing in our elections. And right now we see a lot of those special interests, and one of them is currently basically sitting in the Arapahoe County Clerk's office. So, I mean, what we saw from her and what we've seen so far, she endorsed some council candidates in Aurora for this election, and that's not something we ever saw Matt Crane do. Matt was very careful about not endorsing or making it appear as his office was partisan or, you know, really had a stake in the election. And so she started out that way. She was the registered agent of a committee called Hardcore Dems that promoted the election of Democrats. And she, once she was outed for that, she got off the group, but her husband became the registered agent of that same group. So, you know, fast forward a little bit, and she had put out in the ballot guide, I live in Arapahoe County too, and in the ballot guide it said ballots are going to be mailed on October 14th. And that matters because candidates and various campaigns will time their, you know, their outreach for the date of the ballot drop. So if you're a candidate who's walking, for instance, I've been walking for some centennial candidates, when you go out, you want to know whether the voters actually have the ballots in their hand or they don't. When you do mailings, you want to know when the ballots are going to hit. So she said they were going to hit, they were going to mail on the 14th. Then we started seeing Facebook paid posts from Democrat candidates out in Aurora, saying that ballots were going to drop on the 8th, on Friday, rather than on Monday. So we started calling and trying to find out, and they kept denying that that was the case. And so eventually it became clear that Friday that she did drop ballots on Friday, and I, in fact, got my ballot on Saturday. I got it with my, you know, yes on CC mailer. So clearly all the Democrats knew that this was happening, all the campaigns knew what she was doing, except on the Republican side, we all still thought she was dropping on Monday. So that's what she did, and I wanted to know, when did she know she was going to do this, and when did she tell the Dems versus when did she tell the R's?
Let me pause you for just a second, because I'm going to want you to explain to people, elaborate a little bit more about the significance of that, putting out one anticipated date of release, and then when knowing, and perhaps if we follow our suspicions to their logical conclusion, letting your colleagues on the Democrat side know about it as well so they can time mailings. But it's just the distinction between someone like a Matt Crane, a Republican who believes in providing these services so that the people can make their own decisions, contrasted to a Democrat in position of power that believes it's their role to use that power, that tool of government, in order to influence the outcome of an election or, you know, drive impact in whatever, whether it's a regulation or new law or whatever, drive some kind of impact on people's lives. The contrast between the two parties, which is never, ever, almost never described by Republicans when they're talking about themselves. It's always policy, policy, policy instead of philosophy. But this is just an example that few examples could make it any more clear.
Yeah, I mean, she has, you know, essentially been trying to help the Democrats win ever since she got in office. And there are certainly laws still on the books now that are supposed to protect against that. Governments aren't supposed to be contributing to campaigns. And I think that what she's done here by putting out an official document and probably knowing it was false. I mean, we certainly know from ACORA the date she knew it was false, and she did nothing to correct it. And in fact, probably went out and told her, you know, her Democrat. I mean, from what we can tell from the timeline, it looks like she told the Democrats well in advance. And in fact, continued to tell the Republicans wrong information, even when we directly asked her for it.
You forwarded to me 24 pages from your CORA request. Was that the full amount of disclosure that you received, or just what you thought was significant to share?
Yeah, that was everything I got back. Okay. You know, if I wanted more, they wanted me to pay some fee for it.
25 bucks an hour, baby. And I think there's a per page fee, too, isn't there?
Well, not anymore.
Yeah, okay.
If you ask for it electronically, they can't charge you for copies.
Oh, that's so right. Yeah, that's what we did with our CORA to the Aurora Police Department as well. We got 500 pages out of the work, the stuff we did over our 921 rally. But and it looked pretty complete to me as well, so I'll give them credit for that. What are the penalties if someone doesn't fully produce the appropriate responses to a CORA request?
Well, you got to give them notice, and then you can sue them. And then if you win in district court, they have to pay your attorney's fees. So I'm actually in a case with Arapahoe County right now. But I went to mediation on it because my client doesn't really have the money to. I'm doing it pro bono, and my client doesn't have the money to pay. But it's with the clerk's office again, so I wouldn't necessarily trust them on CORA, but this looks, you know, to be what the information was that I wanted.
Yeah, the chain of communication seems to be unbroken. So I agree with you. Putting my lawyer's hat on for the very quick assessment I did this morning. You're, of course, aware of the way that the clerk and recorder of Arapahoe County, Joan Lopez, utilized social media as well. Her official Twitter page, for instance, 710's Jimmy Sangenberger was posting comments on there, and at least for a while she blocked him from doing so. Is there any law against that, or is it just make you scratch your head about the integrity of the office when you see that sort of thing?
No, I mean, that would have been a nice lawsuit. She actually blocked me, too.
No kidding.
And I only made one comment. Yeah.
And so what would the loss?
I think I might have just liked Jimmy's comment, actually. I'm not even sure.
Oh, my God. Got to hunt down all the likers.
No, I know. She blocked me. She blocked Matt Crane's wife. She blocked Jimmy.
Because on the public, it's not their Twitter feed, right? They don't own it. It is for all constituents. Now, would it be legal for her to block someone who's not an Arapahoe County resident?
No, I mean, it's a public forum. If you use it as a public forum, it's a public forum. So on her private account, she could block people, except that now on her private account, on her campaign account, she also posts official information. So I think she's transformed that into a public forum, too. Mm. But if you're posting official notices on your Twitter account, then you have created a public forum, and people have the First Amendment right to comment and to take part in that public forum. So we could have sued her on that, but by the time we got around to sending her the notice of claim, she had unblocked us.
Yeah, damn straight she did. Yeah, listen, it is so good to have citizens like Jimmy, lawyers, especially with your experience, Deputy Secretary of State, holding these people accountable, because, you know, they'll get away with what we let them get away with. At least that seems to be the case with some of these Democrats. So to recap, what she did is she put out public notice of when the ballots were going to drop. The speculation now, which seems to be confirmed from the results of the CORA requests, is that she actually planned to drop the ballots earlier. And because the dropping of the ballots coincided with a release of a certain, vote yes on CC, the tax increase, the tearing away of our Tabor protections, because those mailings arrived at the same time, the speculation is that they were coordinated. Is that the bottom line here?
Well, and the postings from Democrats around the county who clearly knew when the ballots were going to drop. But yeah, I mean, the mailings were timed correctly on the Democrat side. Their postings were all about how ballots were going to start arriving Saturday, and the Republicans were just left out in the cold.
What's next then in this saga? Is there anything to be done about it, or are we just kind of exposing the hypocrisy of a public official using the powers of her office for personal political or, you know, her political side's gain?
Well, I mean, there's a few different avenues. I filed a complaint with the Secretary of State.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I know.
So,
because she, you know, she put out a false document.
Asking the wolf mother to come in and spank one of her cubs.
Yeah, but, you know, we got to build our case. I mean, yeah. You got to go where it takes you. So I filed it there. There's also a county ethics board that Arapahoe County has that we could.
Oh, Suzanne, I used to be the chairman of that board. And you know what?
Yeah.
You know what? Without my knowing, and this probably was an ethical violation as well. I was out of town dealing with some family health issues. But the Arapahoe County Board of County Commissioners voted to remove me as chairman of the ethics board in Arapahoe County when my law firm filed a lawsuit alleging excessive force by Arapahoe County Sheriff's deputies in the Arapahoe County Jail.
Oh, wow.
And
you're saying I don't have much of a shot at getting on the board.
Well, I wondered if I could have challenged that. I was so deep into other things, and I'd served on that board for, 4 or 5 years. And fortunately, there aren't often a lot of ethical complaints that make it to the board in Arapahoe County, and that was under the leadership of Matt Crane and other Republicans. So it wasn't a super active place for me to be. But do you think that it was a violation or a kind of a retaliation without justification to throw me off of that board just because our law firm was representing a client against their jail?
Yeah, but you would have had to prove that's why they did it. And then you would have had to show damages. I'm sure you were a volunteer. So.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
What
well, well, my God, Suzanne, it hurt my one true feeling. It tarnished my reputation. It was clear that's the reason they did it. They told me. When I found out about it, at some political event, I confronted Kathleen Conte and others, and I just wasn't in a period and a time place where I could really push back on. I just didn't have the time to deal with it, the emotional bandwidth, really. But
improved your reputation.
Absolutely. What do you mean Corcoran's one of those insiders on the ethics board for Arapahoe County? But, very, very interesting. Take a minute. I know you were running to replace outgoing, not running for reelection, Arapahoe County Senate District 27, my senator, Jack Tate. Talk to people a minute about your campaign. We can do more of that, as things start to unfold for 2020.
Yeah, so I announced back in August that I'm running to replace him, obviously, as a Republican. I really love this district. I mean, you and I both live in it, and it's different than the rest of the metro area, and it's one of the few places where we still have a Republican senator in the metro area. Might be the only, except for Douglas. So it's going to be a tough race. The demographics have changed a little bit, but I've lived here for 20 years. I've raised my kids here. I really, love the people here, and I feel like we're more of a neighbor's first community than a, you know, a partisan community necessarily. And I've coached mock trial here for 10 years at Arapahoe, so I have a lot of young people and a lot of enthusiasm in my campaign, and I'm, you know, I'm really excited about it. I want to maintain our principles of, you know, having some choices in our lives when it comes to, you know, our schools and our jobs and our religion and our, you know, just everything that seems like it's being taken away. So,
well, let's get past this midterm election, get it under our belts. Then everything, yep, it's going to be game on for 2020, locally, statewide, nationally. And we'll definitely have you on. What's your website if people want to check things out there?
It's SuzanneStiert.com. So first name, last name, SuzanneStiert.com.
That one's pretty easy. We'll definitely have you back on that. And I hope you'll keep me posted if anything develops on these Arapahoe County clerk and recorder Joan Lopez shenanigans leading up to the 2019 elections here in our state.
I will let you know.
All right, Suzanne, thank you for your time this morning. Really do appreciate it.
Thanks, Randy. Bye.
We have run late on this break as well. Joe has hung in there. He'll be first out of the gate on the other side. We have spent most of the show this morning talking about the really important and powerful speech by Attorney General William Barr to the law school at Notre Dame on the importance of religion as a foundational principle in our society. He gets into the battle that was waged in the Obama administration against religion. And the last paragraph I've read, I've been reading some of this too because I just didn't want to make 60 clips this morning. But that's where he talked about how the progressives, the secularists, I would say the communists, have marshaled all the force of mass communications, popular culture, entertainment industry, and academia in an unremitting assault on religion and traditional values. These instruments are used not only to affirmatively promote secular orthodoxy, but also drown out and silence opposing voices and to attack viciously and hold up to ridicule any dissenters. We'll open the phone lines back up to conversations about this at 303-696-1971. Joe is going to describe for us the reason conservatives are here. That should be fascinating. And that is next on Wake Up with Randy Corcoran, 710 KNUS.
Now, back to Wake Up with Randy Corcoran on News Talk 710 KNUS.
I don't know if this is the mastery of brand new Saturday morning show producer Kevin Ahern or not, but what a great bumper music to roll in. Fear the Reaper, as we're having this religious conversation based on the amazing speech given by Attorney General William Barr to the law school at Notre Dame earlier this week. And Joe's been holding a tremendous long time, so he's going to be the first caller here. And before I tease you up with a little bit more of Attorney General Barr, just want to let you know I have just been given permission. Don't call yet. Wait till I tell you, but I have just been given permission to give away a pair of tickets to the War for America's Soul event with Dennis Prager and Michelle Malkin. I will let you know when the countdown of calls begins. Also, quick thank you and shout out to Alexa here locally, to Dave in Kansas City, to Chuck in Pittsburgh, to Weld County Sheriff Steve Reams, who all thought it was very important to point out another of my many fallibles, many foibles when it comes to names. They all chose to remind me at the same time that it was Janet Reno who was the Attorney General under Bill Clinton during the time of the assault on Waco. And so thank you guys, I think, for all of that. Anyway, we're back to William Barr now, and just love how he laid out what is going on in our society, how the leftists have really created. Well, he actually says it right here. Let me find it. I just lost it. There's another modern phenomenon that suppresses society's self-corrective mechanisms that make it harder for society to restore itself. He talks about how, I've got that on recording. What I was looking for, and my thumb bumped it right off of my phone. But he talks about the fact that the progressives, that this attack on religion is actually a religion in itself. I mean, look, global warming, you know, global cooling, global warming, now global climate change, the fervor of religion You have to believe this or you get tossed to the lions. And it's the same with the social policies and the social prescriptions of the left. My way or the highway, baby. And so we'll pick up with Attorney General William Barr right there, and then we'll jump to Joe on the phones.
There's another modern phenomenon that is suppressing society's self-corrective mechanism that's making it harder for us to restore ourselves. In the past, when societies are threatened by moral chaos, the overall social costs of licentiousness and irresponsible personal conduct become so high that society ultimately recoils and reevaluates the path it is on. But today, in the face of all the increasing pathologies, instead of addressing the underlying cause, we have cast the state in the role of the alleviator of bad consequences. We call on the state to mitigate the social costs of personal misconduct and irresponsibility. So the reaction to growing illegitimacy is not sexual responsibility, but abortion. The reaction to drug addiction is safe injection sites. The solution to the breakdown of the family is for the state to set itself up as an ersatz husband for the single mother and an ersatz father for the children.
Let that sink in. And I will post links to this speech written and video form on my Twitter page at Randy Corporan, on Facebook at Randy Corporan, and at Wake Up with Randy Corporan if you want to check it out for yourself. But let that sink in while we talk to Joe, who has been so incredibly patient. Joe in Arvada, thank you and welcome to the show. Joe, are you there? Are the phones up? Joe.
Randy.
There you are. How you doing?
Hi, Randy. I wanted to address, you know, how we got here. I think that's part of what William Barr was talking about.
Yeah.
And, you know, the left has been around forever. I mean, David said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. Their deeds are vile. There is no one who does good. And Solomon, his son, said, the heart of the wise inclines to the right, but the heart of the fool to the left. So that was 3,000 years ago. What changed? I mean, why are we in this mess now? I think part of the reason is the Bible. We didn't bring the Bible with us to school anymore. In the, you know, our government was created by, you know, Judeo-Christian believers who believed in the Bible. Every congressman got a Bible when they went to Congress. So all of these things that are happening to us are described very clearly in the Bible. I mean, everyone knows this famous scripture, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. But they forget that God warned us later in the same scripture that if we don't follow God's word, then all of these things will be destroyed, the house of God. And why? Because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of Egypt. In other words, because we turn from God, that's why this destruction is coming upon us. So I'm only saying this because this is the foundation of why America was blessed. We, you know, our whole system of government was based on people who believed in the Bible, who believed in the Lord God, some Jews, some Christians, but they all believed in the Lord God Almighty.
And yet we're wise enough to establish a country that was not intended, designed to force people to follow their belief system or any variation of their belief system. You know, the First Amendment has been so badly misconstrued now, starting with the Supreme Court, taking prayer out of school, taking down public monuments and things like that by this taking out of context the letter to the Danbury Baptists from Thomas Jefferson, where he used the phrase a wall of separation between church and state, never intended to. Now, if you just read the letter, you understand he's not talking about some literal wall. Supreme Court still opens with prayer. And so this has just been more activity of the left, of the progressives, of the communists, whatever you want to call them, the godless communists, to make sure that God has as minimal a impact on our society as possible. And I have to agree with you, whether you're a believer or not, you can see where we have come to walking away from these precepts as a foundational thing. The First Amendment doesn't say no religion in government. It says the government shall not establish a religion, nor shall it prohibit the free exercise of religion. That's all. It's that simple. And even that has been bastardized, and we're in trouble because of it. But don't you really feel better, Joe, knowing that Nancy Pelosi is praying for our president and praying for our country?
Notice it says the fool has said in his heart. It doesn't say that he said what he says on his lips.
Yeah.
So it's what's actually in the heart that matters. But I just want to make this point. It isn't the fools. The reason I brought all these scriptures to light is it isn't the fools that led their country astray in Israel. It was the leadership that strayed away from their belief in God. I believe that's the problem today. It isn't the left that is the problem. It is the conservative leadership that has stopped depending on the Lord God Almighty, and that has led us astray to let the left, the fools, get control. What we need to do, what the Cory Gardeners of the world need to do, is get back in the Bible, start understanding what God wants us to do, and then, through his own leadership, bring us back to that Judeo-Christian ethic.
Joe, we're up against the wall, but let me ask you a question. We'll push the break just a little bit to get your answer. When you see Donald Trump praying or being prayed for at CPAC or at American Majority or whatever the last thing he was at, when you hear him talk about one nation under God and every precious life, including life in the womb, God-given life and those kinds of things, do you see a man transformed?
Yeah, I see a Christian. You know, what is a Christian?
Yes,
a
struggling human
being. A Christian,
he's
a frail human being that has fallen to sin, but because of his belief and God in his heart, the only good, Jesus said, the only good, only God is good. The only way that a man can be good is to have God in his heart. I believe that Donald Trump doesn't have the right words because he had a secular life, his upbringing, and he wasn't right. And then that seed was planted in his heart. And now, even though he's struggling with the right words to say, his actions show that he's walking back to Christ. And that's the difference between a real Christian and, I'm going to go ahead and say it, someone like Obama, who says a lot, but they don't show it in their walk.
Yeah, well, how about Nancy Pelosi? My God. God, what a joke that is. Joe, I am so grateful that you waited as long as you did. I'm glad it was on your heart and that you shared your heart with our listeners this morning. It's a different kind of show for me to do from the usual one. I'm probably more comfortable doing it after having spent several days politics round the clock on Peter Boyle's show and all that, but I think it's been useful. I have enjoyed it. Listener feedback I've been getting has been valuable. And my biggest point in doing this today was to get as many people as humanly possible to get it from me on Twitter or Facebook or find it on the internet, this amazing speech from Attorney General Barr. And thank you so very much for increasing the interest in that, I'm sure.
Thank you, Randy.
God bless you, Joe. All right, about 18 minutes to go. Gosh, we're at the end of the show. I can't believe it. Let me just go to break with this from William Barr. I'll just read it. It'll be quicker. Christianity teaches a micro-morality. We transform the world by focusing on our own personal morality and transformation. The new secular religion teaches macro morality. One's morality is not gauged by their private conduct, but rather on their commitment to political causes and collective action to address social problems. And when we come back on the other side, we'll play a couple final clips from this speech. First one where Attorney General Barr talks about what happened in the last administration. So I hope you'll stay with us for that. It's Wake Up with Randy Corcoran, final segment ahead right here on 710 KNUS. And before we go, we will take caller number 6. Finally got permission to give away a pair of tickets to see Dennis Prager, Michelle Malkin, a bunch of us from 710 KNUS a week from Tuesday at CU South Denver. And all the information at 710knus.com. It's presented by the new movie coming out, No Safe Spaces, with Dennis Prager and Adam Carolla. That'll be in theaters November 1st. And our friends at Alpha One Tax and Wealth, where planning, service, and precise execution come together. Find them online at alphaonetax.com. Caller number 6 at 303-696-1971 gets the next pair of tickets.
Countdown to 2020, the war for America's soul. Get tickets and complete details at 710knus.com.
We're back. Only a couple of minutes left. I'll play you some more bar sound as we go out. Monday, I'll be filling in for Peter Boyles for the final time during his Germany trip, and I'm going to do something different. It's going to be a powerful woman show. We're going to invite on Brigitte Gabriel. She's scheduled. Michelle Malkin. I reached out to Sidney Powell last night. She told me that she's just too busy to do radio right now. She's the attorney for General Michael Flynn. Jenna Ellis, local treasurer on Fox News now all the time, even on CNN, constitutional attorney Jennifer Kearns. Going to try and have them all lined up for the Peter Boyles show on Monday. But right now, let's hear from Peter, Attorney General Barr.
For example, the last administration sought to force religious employers, including Catholic religious orders, to violate their sincerely held religious views by funding contraceptive and abortifacient coverage in their health plans. And similarly, recently, California has sought to require pro-life pregnancy centers to provide notices of abortion rights. This refusal to accommodate the free exercise of religion is relatively recent. Just 25 years ago, there was a broad consensus in our society that our laws should accommodate religious belief. In 1993, Congress passed the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. The purpose of the statute was to promote maximum accommodation to religion when the government adopted broad policies that might impinge on religious practice. And at the time, this was not controversial. It was introduced by Chuck Schumer with 170 co-sponsors in the House, and was introduced by Ted Kennedy and Orrin Hatch with 59 co-sponsors in the Senate, and it passed the Senate by 97-3.
Gosh, it reminds me of the way Democrats used to vote on, border security and immigration laws. Man, how things change in a decade or two. And looks like we've got just enough time for maybe this final short clip from Attorney General William Barr. As I said before, I will make sure that you have access to the speech, the video, or the text. If you follow me on Twitter at Randy Corcoran or go to either of my Facebook pages, Wake Up with Randy Corcoran, or my personal page, me.
Recently, as the process of secularization has accelerated, this statute has come under assault, and the idea of religious accommodation is falling out of favor. Because this administration firmly supports accommodation of religion, the battleground at this time has largely shifted to the states. Some state governments are now attempting to compel religious individuals and entities to subscribe to practices or to espouse viewpoints that are incompatible with their religion. Ground zero for these attacks on religion are the schools. And to me, this is the most serious challenge to religious liberty today.
So, so good. That was 9 pieces of the first half of Attorney General William Barr's almost 1-hour speech. I think I will devote some time on the Peter Boyle show on Monday to give you some more of that, in addition to powerful Lady Days on Monday. All right, Jimmy Sangenberger tonight, 5 to 8. Dr. Brian Jundep in for Matt Dunn tomorrow on Backbone Radio. Craig Silverman is next. Be sure to join me for Peter Boyle's tomorrow, Monday morning at 5 a.m. I'm Randy Corcoran. Always remember, never forget, you heard it today. God loves you, and so do I.